Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a waspily rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Are you like a crazy person?
I'm quite sure they will say so.
Good day, crazy people. So it is Friday, April 24th, although that is the rumor. I don't really believe that April's almost over, but that's what my calendar says to me. So another Friday, and what in some areas of the country is spring, but not in other areas. Yeah. Today is our last week we were talking, we started talking about movies a little bit, and we were talking about science fiction stuff, and one of them we talked about a little bit was Cowboys and Aliens. So I could not replicate that, but the closest I could come for you today, my friend, is Cowgirls and Aliens. So our guest today is one of my really good astrology friends in California, Crystal Lynn, the Cowgirl Astrologer. And then, so I think that probably makes me the alien in this scenario, as I am.
Me too, man.
When I'm not a rabbit or a fish, I often end up an alien in various scenarios. And I end up in a lot of scenarios. I don't know how that happens. Yes, yeah, so we will bring her on in 10 minutes or less here. Let me give you her website real quick so you can start checking her info. I got all of her stuff, her websites and her YouTube channel pasted on my Facebook page, and I will put them up in the chat room as well. So her website is, is Cowgirl, I'm having, okay, Cowgirl, www.cowgirlastrologer.com. And, yeah, so we will get some of her insights. We have some, a lot of common friends and some, we have some kind of interesting connections between us. So we will get into some Plutonian talk here in just a couple minutes. So first thing, I just want to do just a quick little energy deal here. So this is what I'm seeing right now. Everybody I know in the metaphysical area, community, whatnot, is having a lot of, seems like everyone is either really thriving or else the majority of people I know right now are sick or ill or just coming off of an illness. And I think some of this is all the bizarre weather we've been having, but, you know, too, I think, like we've talked about, the whole first part of the year, I won't go in ad nauseum on it, but, you know, we come through this massive clearing phase, the last of the Uranus-Pluto squares, and that's hit the South Node in the last couple months. So this is all about purging, and we are getting our light bodies upgraded from the nearest of what I can see in the information I can tell. So I think that's what's happening, is we're getting our upgrades and we're being told to just stop for a second and let the energy catch up to us and let our bodies kind of assimilate all of these big changes that we've been going through. So another thing I wanted to talk about here, and I meant to bring the newspaper, and I did not. There was a very interesting article on fracking. From the U.S. Geological Survey, which also I've been getting completely inundated with emails because we're still at this right about the week period out from the Pluto station of last week. And so we are really the number of large earthquakes is getting kind of out of control right now. There's actually a 6.1 in Canada yesterday. Let me see if I can. I should really be more organized. Yeah, there was a 6.1. Looks like overnight this morning in Canada. The Hidayah-Galway region of Canada. Not really sure that is. West southwest of Bella Bella. West northwest of Campbell. So, Canada, usually not prone to large earthquakes like that, but there was an interesting article in the newspaper today. The U.S. Geological Survey actually did. There we go. I don't know what my computer is acting of its own accord today. So for the first time, the U.S. Geological Survey has unveiled a map of earthquakes thought to be triggered by human activity in the eastern and central United States. So they've Oklahoma is by far the worst hit state recently. The state last year had more earthquakes of magnitude 3 or higher than California, part of a huge increase recorded in activity in Texas near the Dallas-Fort Worth area has also increased substantially. Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, and Ohio, where we sit, all have experienced more frequent earthquakes in the year. So there's a so they've tied these earthquake surges to areas where there's large amounts of fracking going on. So what they're really I'm not going to get too far down the rabbit hole on this. What they're really doing with the fracking, I don't know. I sense it as something more than just the digging for gas and oil reserves. I think that's a cover story.
Yep. I know you don't like to go down the rabbit hole. Had to say that.
Oh. I'm just going to... all of this stuff always goes back to military black ops type stuff. So I don't know if they're trying to cause earthquakes. I don't know if they're doing military testing to see if... because, in the future, wars are not going to be fought by people. They're fought right by now. It's just everything's just a big Nintendo game. So it's now what kind of diseases can we create? What kind of viruses? What kind of disruptions can we throw to... So I would think that maybe they're doing some sort of testing or... maybe they're looking for something. Maybe they're building ground tunnels for the elite to escape to after things go in there. So, anyways, this article is called Geological Maps Tie Earthquakes to Injection Wells. And I will post, if I can bring up the right tab, I will post that in the chat room. And I will post that on my Facebook page as well. So there we go.
Can I put the birth chart right there? on her website, and uh-huh. just went to one side of the chart. And like,
oh, that you put your birth
yeah.
info in?
So bad there.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I think we're just going to go ahead and bring the cowgirl astrologer on. So, this is Crystal Lynn calling in, and she is a good astrology cohort of mine and a student of Stephen Forrest, and we will get into all that Plutonian stuff here shortly. So, good day, Crystal. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much for being on. I like trying to bring different guests on and give people different opinions and astrological views and stuff like that, because they probably get tired of listening to me babble all the time.
Well, I think it's great. I think it's awesome because we get to, studying the craft of astrology is such a beautiful thing, and I think that we all do bring a little different perspective. So I think it's really, really awesome to be able to talk about it and share about it and learn, because we're always still learning. I mean, it's something that we, I think, never can fully attain. So it's in our experiences that, we learn and sharing that. So, yeah, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, awesome. We've, Crystal and I have started to work on a few different various projects, and one or the other of us gets tied up at the time. So, but there'll be somewhere in the near future here, the two of us, I think, will be collaborating and releasing a few things we've worked on at various stages, I believe.
Absolutely.
And Crystal has a YouTube channel as well that I've posted that on my Facebook page, and I will put that up in the chat room as well. So how when did you all get into all this silliness?
Well, interestingly enough, I come from the Pluto and Virgo generation. So, I was really raised very traditionally, conservatively, and for those of you who understand that transition in time, I like to call it the Uranus opposing Uranus transition, or the midlife crisis that most of us are having about 35 to 37. I started having different questions, and it wasn't so much, that I was denying everything that I am and was raised, but at the same time, I just started seeing there was a bigger picture. I had more questions about life, about myself, and as I began to explore them, astrology really appeared to me. It was pretty taboo, nobody talked about it. So I was really coming up with these different questions, they were appearing to me, just specific events. I was noticing certain patterns, certain cycles in my life that I couldn't deny seemed to have some type of synchronicity, and I wanted to know more about it. So I really started my own self-study. I didn't have any other astro friends or people to talk to about it. So it's something I was diving into, and being a Virgo, we can become very obsessed. But I've always seen things in numbers and dates and patterns. And so, my eyes were really, really catching these things. And so that was the beginning of my questioning. Is there more that we're not seeing? Does the universe really speak to us in these very intimate and intricate ways? And that really began my, beginning stages of learning about astrology. And as the internet, and as I became more savvy on the internet, I started, you know, wow, you know, the studies that have been done, you know, by our, you know, forefathers like Stephen Forrest, I was fascinated. So I was just amazed that we had access, you know, to this kind of research, and that, you know, never before have we really had that kind of access. I mean, you could maybe go find a good book, but now, you know, through the internet, through YouTube, through websites, I was really able to do a very in-depth study. And I have fallen in love with the art of astrology. I call it the art of astrology because I think it is an art in some strange way.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, that was the beginning. That was the beginning. And, being that I'm the cowgirl astrologer, I have worked professionally with animals my whole life, specifically horses and service dogs. And once I started learning how to, you know, look at a natal chart, I started questioning, does this apply to animals as well? And I began to, you know, because I do this professionally, I have a lot of horses that, you know, I know their birthdays and have papers, and I started playing with that idea, and that blew me away, that this is something that, you know, we can gain insights from, even with animals. So I started using it professionally with my clients. I would, you know, kind of secretly at the time, but, you know, I'd have a client come to me, and, you know, I'd sneak, you know, their birthdays, and then I'd look at their animal's birthday, and the stuff that I already knew professionally and intuitively, I was able to confirm through astrology. And it just, it allowed me to have a lot more insight into my teaching and explain things to people on a deeper level, and then they were changing. So I was seeing the results of it immediately. So, yeah, I've been amazed at how astrology is something that you can really use as a tool in your life. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's fascinating with the animals, because I tend to be I may in the past have been accused of being a collector of strays. So yeah, I know. I do not have I currently have one cat that lives with me, that I've had for a long time. I don't know her exact birth date, but I believe she's a Capricorn, and she has Mars in Pisces.
Ooh, okay.
So I've just kind of realized, like in the last year, that she's very much my kind of mirror. Because I really noticed how, as my energy, and I have a stellium in the sign of Cancer, so I have three planets conjunct in the sign of Cancer, so I have a lot of Cancer energy. Capricorn is the opposite sign of Cancer, so I had it pointed out to me that my Capricorn cat, or Catricorn, is Catricorn. she is very much. Yes. Yeah, she's very much my mirror, and I really started to notice as my energies would shift that she very much, she was put there as a mirror to me, as an opposition, but yeah, with the Pisces contact points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very interesting that's awesome that you have papers for all your animals.
Yes, absolutely. Well, see, that's really what I, you know, have been teaching throughout my career, that animals are a mirror, and especially when you're working with horses, you know, horses reflect, you know, a person, and they do it in such a beautiful way. Same with cats, same with dogs. They reflect in an unconditional way. They don't hold a grudge, so they allow you to see yourself. But as humans, because humans have the ego, you know, animals, you know, when you read an animal chart, you really have to read it through the perspective of their nature. So, for example, an animal like a dog or a cat is a predator. So you have to understand their nature, where a horse is a prey animal. So you have to understand that we take the ego factor out that we would for humans, you know. So they truly are a beautiful mirror, where most people in history have tried to use the animal as something to dominate or control or make themselves look good. And, you know, and then this animal makes a complete fool out of them, you know, every turn. Especially when you're in the show world, you just see it. It's like, oh, my gosh. But the people who understand that, that your pet or your animal is actually a very spiritual and healing tool to allow you to look within yourself and see different things. And I believe they're placed there, just like people, very specifically. I don't think there's any mistakes in the animals that come into our life. So that's really cool. That's cool about your cat.
Yeah, I totally agree. Animals, and you know, sometimes animals kind of pop in there for just a short time, whether, you know, we foster them for a little bit, or I know sometimes people are in living situations where they can't always keep them, but even if, you know, animals are really there to show us stuff, and there's an awful lot we can learn. It's more than just the people that are our mirrors.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned the Pisces Cancer energy, because that really, with my study with service dogs, that and this is something I am writing a book about. I have about 3 to 4 years now of research and documenting my stories and stuff. It's involved, because you really want to get specific things right when you're coming out with such a big theory. So this is something I put a lot of time into. But what I discovered that was so incredible, I had a dear friend of mine that has a daughter that suffered with seizures her whole life, very severe seizures, you know, where she can't even leave the house. And she got a service dog. And it was interesting, because it was the last dog in the litter. It was kind of ironic that she got picked, you know, this dog got picked for her. But it was the only dog in this whole group of dogs that was able to read her seizures up to 45 minutes before they'd actually happened.
Wow.
And, yeah, see, that is super rare. And when you're looking at service dog industry, you know, they breed very specific dogs. And the trainers of these dogs, who are amazing, often the one thing they can't find or predict is if a dog is going to have that innate ability to read seizures before they happen. Now, a lot of dogs will alert once the person maybe is on the ground. I mean, let's say you go to a restaurant and you have a seizure, you're on the ground, the dog can then alert that there's a problem, but it's almost too late. There's a very specific dog that's able to alert their owner up to, like I said, 45 minutes before it happens. Well, she got one of these dogs, and it was just this weird coincidence, and this dog was alerting her throughout the day in the middle of the night. She didn't even know she was having seizures in the middle of the night. The dog was waking up her mother to tell her that the daughter was going to have a seizure. So I was fascinated by the story, and I asked him, I said, you know, let me see the birthday. So sure enough, when I looked at this chart, this dog was born in this very rare lineup in 2010. It hasn't happened again. There's about an 8-week period where there was a Pisces lineup that was
I remember
rare.
This.
Mm-hmm. And this dog had moon in Pisces, yeah, sun in Pisces. I mean, really rare lineup. And because I have a moon in Pisces and an ascendant in Pisces, I understand one of the beautiful gifts that a Pisces has is being able to know what it happens before what happens happens. We get vibrations, whether we listen to them or not or understand them or not. If you pay attention, they're there. It's like, you know, knowing the phone's going to ring and who it's going to be 15 minutes before the phone rings. It's those kind of weird things that happen to the Pisces. And so that really began my journey. I was able to then find other dogs who have this unique gift, find their charts, and see the same common threads in their charts. So I was able to then go, all right, there's a pattern. So what this allows me to do is working with breeders who are trying to match these dogs with the right person. I'm able to look at the chart the day they're born and tell you, yes, this dog is going to have this inclination. So the training now can become much more effective instead of trying to kind of fumble through it for 2 years and hope they have it. This gives them really an edge in the service dog industry. So the only problem is that it's before its time, and astrology has not been highly respected as something we could use scientifically. So that's part of what I'm doing in my research and writing this book, because a lot of people went, you're crazy. I said, yes, right. Maybe I am, but I can prove it. So now I'm just trying to prove it, and hopefully I will be able to be, you know, this will be able to be a tool in the service dog industry that breeders can even use, you know. So it's really fascinating.
Awesome. That's amazing stuff. That's amazing stuff.
Yeah, so
go ahead.
Being that your cat has a Mars in Pisces, I would be listening to your cat a little bit more in her communication when she's telling you something, because she may be telling you something, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a physical thing. But she will be communicating with you often way before something's going to happen. So getting people to start listening to their animals' little messages that they give them that we often ignore and not sure what they're saying to us, if you have, you know, that your cat has that thread in there that is very intuitive and able to, you know, give you those warnings or little messages that might have a meaning. So...
That's amazing stuff. That's amazing stuff. Yeah, it's being able to communicate with your animals is a great tool, because they really do show us stuff up front. I've had some pretty interesting animal stories throughout my life about with animal communications and things. So that's really awesome. That's fascinating work. I'd be very interested to read up more on that when you get your book in shape there.
Yep.
So we are, let's see, what should we jump to next? Okay, so you are we're going to talk a little bit about the, they're referred to as the Pluto brothers. So this is kind of, Crystal and I have a lot of kind of weird connections. So she's a Virgo and I'm a Pisces, which are opposites. I have a Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo, which is conjunct her sun, but then she's got a Pisces moon and ascendant, which hits back in my chart. Now, who I feel are the two best astrologers out there are... Stephen Forrest and Jeffrey Wolf Green. Those have been the two astrologers that have certainly influenced me the most. And they both have a series of books on the planet Pluto out. And so interestingly enough, when Crystal and I met through friends online, I found out that she had went through Stephen Forrest's astrology school and I had went through Jeffrey Wolf Green's astrology school. So we had both, being our sons are opposite, we had like were attracted to the we came through the same learning tree, but through the opposite sides of it, if you will.
Yes.
So I found that very interesting, and I if you're interested, on my Facebook page I've posted my collection, or part of my collection of evolutionary astrology books. So I've got all the Jeffrey Wolf Green books. Actually, he's got some new ones out that I don't have on there, and some of my Stephen Forrest books and stuff. So they call themselves the Pluto brothers. So how'd you first stumble across Stephen Forrest's work? And by the way, Crystal has a great interview on her YouTube channel with Stephen Forrest, and I've posted her YouTube channel link in the chat room and on my Facebook page. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, thank you for that. No, yes. Well, let me just clarify, just to clarify, I didn't actually go through his apprentice program yet, but how I connected with Stephen Forrest is very, very special and important in my journey, because the fact that I really was self-teaching myself astrology, like these discoveries were coming to me, like transmitting to me, but I didn't have anybody to confirm the findings that I was having with animals and also with some other things with children and different disorders I was seeing in the charts. And I was going around trying to talk to other astrologers and nobody would talk to me. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's going on here? So I stumbled across Stephen Forrest's video on YouTube one day, and I'm listening to it, and I said, that's the man. That is the man that I know I can talk to. Everybody thought I was crazy, and I went, I don't care. That's the man. I know he's going to know. And I sent him an email about my animal work. I actually have a video out with my beginning findings and research. It is on my channel. It's Astrology and Animals, Is There a Link? And I explain my exact story of how I found this out. And so I sent him and I said, look, nobody will talk to me. I really want confirmation that, the direction I'm going has some credibility and would you look at this video? And I didn't expect him to return my message. And literally with less than 24 hours, he returned my message. He gave me incredible insights. He gave me confirmation I was on the right track. And he posted my video on his Facebook page.
Wow.
I was blown away. I was like, oh, my gosh. It's like this was a couple of years ago. And we began, a semi-friendship. He lives about an hour from me in Borrego Springs. So I said, well, I have got to go out and get a reading from him. I really just wanted to see, again, testing my own self. And I went out there. It was a 2.5-hour reading, a most amazing experience I've ever had as far as, going into the depth of reading. I ended up following up with a second session with him. It was like a 3-hour session. So I went out there again. And, we've kind of remained having a friendship. Anytime I have a little astro concern or question, I'll pop him and he'll respond. And, that really gave me the confidence that I needed. And I feel like I got his blessing. I needed his blessing because I didn't want to, I take astrology very seriously and I believe the information I have could truly be life-changing for people. But I wanted to make sure that, what I was saying really held credibility, and he has guided me in that. So that's really my in-depth connection with him, but I definitely plan on doing some of his apprentice programs in the future. I would love to take it to that level. So that's where I'm at with that. He's a fascinating teacher. He is exactly what he is as a person, as he is out there. He's through and through. And somebody I can trust, that I truly trust. So that's my Stephen Forrest story.
Okay. Awesome. For those of you not totally familiar, I guess, with astrology and whatnot. Stephen Forrest is at the top 1% echelon of astrologers in the history of the Earth. He is a really any of his book, his Pluto book is amazing, and then. One of my other favorites is Yesterday's Sky, which kind of looks at past lives and reincarnation and things. So highly recommend all of his books. And there's actually a couple books called Measuring the Night Volume 1 and 2 that he and Jeffrey Wolf Green wrote together. Kind of just transcripts of some lectures, but I cannot possibly more highly recommend any of the books by either of these two. To me, that was when I got into astrology in it was 91 or 92, and then I learned the basics and things like that. And then when I picked up the first Pluto book by Jeffrey Wolf Green in, I believe that was 1995, I believe, that's when it all just like, that's when it all shifted for me, because it was just, there's a lot of very light, fluffy stuff out there in the astrology world, and you can find your daily horoscopes online, and all that stuff's fine, but the stuff that Stephen Forrest and Jeffrey Wolf Green do just, this takes things to a complete another level of on a psychological level and soul level. So I would highly recommend picking up any of the books by those two people. So what kind of things are you working on now? What do you have coming up for us in the future?
Well, I've got my channel. I'm working on my channel right now. I do a variety of things on my channel because I have all this Pisces energy. I have all kinds of creative ventures. I love to express myself creatively. And that's one of the things I'm really teaching people because, you know, it's not enough just to know astrology. I mean, right now, everybody's saturated with as much knowledge as they can take in out there. But it's how to actually live it, how to actually make the changes. What are the tools to go through the transit, through the Saturn return, through some of these heavy duty? Because we've been in heavy duty transformation, and
yes.
And I think you mentioned it in the beginning. It's kind of like separating. I mean, I don't know if this is the best way to give an analogy, but the sheep from the goats in life. You know, it's like people are either really confused or they're really rising and taking a hold of this amazing transformation. We're in that period of time. One of the things that, I mean, maybe I'm going off on a Neptunian trans.
No, you're fine.
Okay, cool. This is the rabbit hole, so we can go down all kinds of. Well, it
That's
goes
right.
back to what you were saying about Stephen Forrest and part of what I guess what I do on my channel. One of the things he talks about that really impacted my life was the fact that we are living in a period of time where Neptune is in Pisces. This has not happened for 165 years. And what Stephen did is he went back in history every 165 years and really did analysis on Neptune was in Pisces, the radical transformation, going all the way back to the life of Jesus and when Paul, you know, went and spoke to all the churches over 14 years. That was during a Neptune in Pisces transit.
Wow,
and it's not,
that's amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's a spiritual transformation, and it's not so much important, you know, that we're arguing about what religious things are going on, as much as we understand that Neptune comes in and transforms our spiritual world. It brings people to a place that they're hungry for, that they need spirituality in their life. Now, everybody, you know, responds to that call differently. And in our world right now, with Neptune in Pisces, never before in history that we've known or will we see again, is it the poets, the storytellers, the filmmakers, the photography that all represents Neptune, and it all represents an opportunity for each individual person to become their own producer of their life, their own author of their life, to take their own spirituality and express it in a way that works for them. And in doing that, we all have this beautiful common bond. It takes the judgment. It's Neptune dissolves judgment. Neptune dissolves ego. So with Neptune in its homeland in Pisces, you see the breakdown in the structures, the religious structures that have put people in a bondage. And people are asking questions. People are becoming free. And whether it's creatively, whether it's spiritually, it's all an important part that we're expressing our individuality. And that's what I do on my channel. I come out and teach different principles through the current astrology. I help women, because I'm born in 1968. I help others through career changes, how to, you know, really embrace and tell your own story and use it as a way to launch your life. It's kind of like, you know, business-wise, because I'm a Virgo, so I like to talk about practical stuff. It's like building an empire from your kitchen table. We all have the same tools available to us now, and we can live very authentically through our, you know, creating our lives, including supporting ourselves. And just getting people to catch the Neptune and Pisces vision, that is really one of the things behind the scenes that I really am capturing myself. So there you go.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree, because my Mercury is at 5 degrees of Pisces. So the last couple of years, these Neptune stations where Neptune changes directions and its energy is heightened, these have all hit right on my Mercury, and I've had what I can only describe as insane and completely bizarre events happen at each of those points. I mean, I would have myself locked up probably if I repeated a lot of the crazy stuff that happened to me at these events. But yeah, you're talking about the Pisces energy. I talked about this like a month ago at my monthly class, but that last eclipse we had at 29 degrees Pisces, it had been almost 800 years since there's an eclipse at the last degree of the zodiac. That was the year 1250 was the last time there was an eclipse at 29 degrees Pisces.
Oh my gosh, that's fascinating. Oh my gosh, right. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that probably had to be the most intense week in the history of our lifetimes, because we had an eclipse at 29 Pisces, which hadn't happened in 800 years, on the day of the equinox. This was on March 20th, which was my birthday, so I remember all this stuff. So we had the new moon, the sun going into Aries. That previous Monday, 4 days before, we'd had the last of the 7 Uranus-Pluto squares. And the 2 days before that, we'd had a Saturn station. Yeah. Plus, we had a gigantic solar flare in the middle of the, that was all in 1 week. That was March 13th through or 14th through 20th.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. So, go ahead, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say we're going to take just a really short, like 30-second break here, catch our breaths a second. Collective breaths, and then we will be right back with our guest, Crystal Lynn, on the rabbit hole.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. WithInsights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
Don't go chasing rabbits.
Don't go chasing rabbits. So we are... Yes, I am like a crazy person. So we are back with our guest, Crystal Lynn, the cowgirl astrologer. I have her links up in the chat room and on my Facebook page, and we are talking about animals and astrology and Pluto and historical Neptune and Pisces, and I think I rudely cut you off there right before the break.
No, see, that's the beautiful thing about talking to another Pisces. You know, I just did an interview yesterday, and they asked me, what was my favorite sign? And I said, well, I have to say the Pisces, because we speak this, like, language that most people don't understand, but if you're talking to somebody who has Pisces in their chart, like, you can go all over the place and come back, and you don't even know where you started, but it just makes sense to us.
I know. So, and other people classify that negatively and say we have directional issues.
Exactly. In this interview
I'm
I did yesterday, he kept asking me questions, and when I listened back to it, I never answered one of his questions. I went off on all these different incredible tangents that I thought were incredible, and I never even heard what he asked me, so I thought, oh my gosh. But I think that is the beauty of, you know, the Pisces energy is being able to tap into the bigger picture, and often we see that, and if people can go there with us, there's some insights in it.
Right. Right. Totally agree. Totally agree. So, yeah, with Neptune being in Pisces, for the first time in, 168 years? I believe that's what it is.
Yeah, I think about 165 from what I understand, but I'd say that's probably pretty close.
Okay, yeah, that's enough. I'm not it's somewhere in that ballpark there. yeah, so
not
really it's...
the bounty in here.
So it's really awakening our intuition and our, our psychic abilities, intuitive abilities, and we're just really becoming so much even more connected to our animals and the people around us. And I know those people that are really empathic have been having some challenges here and there with it, because it's... it's almost like it's overwhelming at times, because, I mean, it literally feels like you're just, you know, Pisces is known as the psychic sponge, and it's almost like you're really just picking up everything around you. And wherever you have Pisces in your birth chart, that's kind of a antenna to other worlds and other dimensions. And, I mean, anybody, if you know any Pisces people out there, I mean... You know that Pisces people are just visiting here. They're not from here. that usually becomes obvious very quickly.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I had my reading with Stephen Forrest, he said, you know, with a chart like yours, you would probably have been friends with somebody like Albert Einstein. I said, well, I think that's a compliment. I'm not sure. But... what he said was, which I thought was very interesting, is, you know, 100 years ago when Albert Einstein, or, you know, came out and, had all these crazy perspectives, people thought he was crazy, right? People they thought he was completely crazy. 100 years later, if you look on Facebook, almost every, you know, fifth post of these little, you know, messages is a quote from Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
He is relevant today, 100 years later. And I think that is the struggle of the Pisces, because we often have insights into the future. Most of the time, we're before our time. That's why even with the animals in astrology, when I introduced it 3 years ago, I was shunned. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to go back and really do my homework. And when I come out with this, I'm going to have to really... have this in a way that the everyday person can understand it, because it's before its time. And I think it's why, this is just my opinion in my studies, but I think it's why the Pisces has struggled so much. We know that you know, addiction and alcohol and escape, and everybody likes to make their comments about that. But I think it's really a deep frustration having the ability to tap into such incredible insights and to come into your everyday world and have them not be understood or not be accepted. And now, because we're in this amazing transit with Neptune in Pisces like never before, the Pisces is able to be the front runner. People will be looking to the Pisces for answers. Never before have we been able to validate these things that we see in these other worlds, and we're able to bring them to our world today. People are very sensitive, and I think what you said was very critical, that our intuition, it's like the veil has become very thin between heaven and earth with the transits that we are in right now. And people are feeling things from the other side, and they have no idea what it means. They just know they feel it, so it's very uncomfortable. But as the Pisces, we are the healers. We are the teachers. We can help aid people through this process. But in doing that, I believe those of us, and this isn't just Pisces, this is a lot of the, you know, all the water signs right now, Scorpio and Cancer, or people who have strong psychic abilities, we're going to have to really take care of ourselves. We're going to have to really pay attention to where we place ourselves and put ourselves in public situations or in stressful situations, because we are like paper thin spiritually. And I've had to change a lot of how I operate daily to handle this new energy that I live in. You know, I was able to, you know, before Neptune moved into Pisces, all of these things inside of me were stuffed down where I wasn't able to communicate them. Now I'm able to bring them forth in an expression, but physically my body has to learn how to handle this, like, highly volatile energy. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
That's absolutely amazing, actually, because, that's exactly, I'm seeing this with a lot of the people in the, whatever, spiritual, metaphysical, new age, whatever you want to call it, community, especially recently. It's like everyone, I know you were sick last week. I've been sick for a week and a half, so I apologize if my voice cuts out here and there, but yeah, what I started talking about a year and a half ago is it's like the astrological alignments have been aligning up to where about every 5 or 6 weeks we have a really heavy energy, and then we have like the 5 weeks in between the next energy bump, as I'm calling them, to kind of assimilate these energies. And I'm not a sick person. I very rarely have gotten sick or never broken a bone, anything. But I'll tell you what, the last year and a half at these little energy bumps, it's like when you run new programs or software for your computer, it's like it lags when it's downloading this new information and stuff. So I've had a couple periods over the last year and a half where I've just been like wrecked. Like the last week, I've just been physically wrecked.
Yeah.
To where I used to be one of the greatest multitaskers in the history of the earth, I believe. And I can't do it now. I've been forced, the universe has forced me to physically slow down and say, these things need done. You need to prioritize them. And you need to put your intent and your manifesting ability into them and do one thing at a time as well. Because that is not my previous MO. My previous MO is do 800 things at once and get them done as good as you can in that time period. But like I cannot force myself to do things the old way anymore.
Absolutely,
so it's amazing,
Mark.
You brought that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in the same place. And at first, it was really a frustrating transition for me, and I'm sure you can relate that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, but I think it's about making mindful decisions, that things that matter. The other thing I think is really important to look at when we look back at the last few years is the planets have been going, you know, retrograde, direct, retrograde, direct, all of them doing the most craziest patterns. And on this is really critical because on the 17th of April, Pluto in Capricorn went retrograde. I landed in the hospital on that day, and I have not been in the hospital in, you know, 15 years other than children. So what happens when we go through these retrogrades, especially Pluto in Capricorn, remember, Pluto is all about diving down deep and, you know, in the crannies of whether it's our physical bodies, emotionally, spiritually, whatever area that it seeks, anything hiding down in there that we're not taking care of ourselves, Pluto goes in and shines the light. And when it goes retrograde, it goes from an external process to an internal process. And in Capricorn, Capricorn rules teeth, bones, sinuses, you know, all of that. So a lot of people are experiencing severe flu symptoms. I had a severe sinus infection that went all the way down in my neck and was just out of control, my whole face, you know. And these are nagging issues because of the weather changes and planetary changes that I haven't been dealing with. So when a planet goes retrograde at 0 degrees, that's when it's the most powerful. And that's when you have to be very careful physically, because our bodies, you know, suddenly, and for those of us who are very sensitive to retrogrades, our bodies now, you know, the whole world is feeling these shifts, and they don't really know what it is. But I know what it is, because it was literally on that day that it, you know, Pluto and Capricorn brought my physical issues to the surface. So just some more insight to think about on those.
Right, yeah, I've really noticed the last several months that my body is really sensitive to the planetary stations and to the eclipses. That seems to have really boosted since, you know, I'm tracing the big transformation back to early 2011, when Neptune first went into Pisces. That's when the stuff really started. Well, I mean, and that's my ruling planet and sign.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's when things really started shifting for me. We had the initial entrance of Neptune into Pisces in April 2011, and then did a little retrograde dance, and then it entered for the long term in early 2012. So for me, that's when things have really gotten. I've had more, like, flat out crazy stuff happen to me in the last year than in all the rest of my life combined. Times 10 probably.
Well, you've got Neptune. You said you have Mercury. Repeat that again. You have Mercury in Pisces at what degree?
5.
Yeah, it's sitting right on top of you, and this is a slow-moving transit.
Yes.
So, yeah. Well, you know, interestingly enough, and I'm curious to hear what you think about it, but last month, or in February, this was another really noted period for those of us who are Pisces or very, you know, spiritually connected, I guess I'll say. We had another very rare lineup where we had Sun, Moon, Venus, Mars, Chiron, Neptune, all lining up in Pisces. And it was about a 2-3 day period, and it really hit me, like, so hard. I was actually looking forward to the energy coming, and it surprised me. I mean, it knocked me on my butt. But when I started really trying to connect to what was going on, I realized that with that lineup that happened, it kind of was like a preparation before all the big hitters that we just had. It was a dissolving for global mentally, but for many of us, of ego. Neptune and all that Pisces energy. And when you think about your ego being dissolved, you know, I don't know about you, but it's not really that comfortable, because our ego, even though we all talk about ego as bad, or some people do, our ego protects us a little bit. Everybody's got to have a little ego to protect yourself. And when your complete protection is gone and you feel like you're completely vulnerable and raw, it's very difficult emotionally and spiritually. And I believe that the universe dissolved, and for many of us, our egos, so that we could then really begin to step into this new energy, because our old egos aren't going to serve us in this new energy that we're moving into. And it also physically, emotionally, and spiritually can make you feel very sick when you feel that raw and vulnerable. It's psychological, and it's difficult. So if you guys look back at around February 17th, 18th, 19th, that week, look back and see what was going on for you internally. If we understand that it's a beautiful process, we don't have to fear it. But we often get hit by these things and aren't clear what's happening until after we go through them, and in hindsight can see the process. But for me, it was really uncomfortable to feel that stripped of my whole being. But for rebirth to truly happen, and I believe it was a preparation process as we move into this future that we're all moving into. I mean, this is going to be some really powerful stuff coming our way. But we have to learn how to use our new sea legs, so to speak. You know, how to learn to walk.
Right. Or use our fins differently to swim. But
yes.
I agree totally. The phrase that I keep using, like where we've had these big stations and energy groupings of the planets, is that it's felt like I've had no skin on my body. Like I was like just totally, like I had no defenses against anything. So those times I would have to, like I would be smudging my apartment 3 times a day and, you know, always having crystals with me and like anything I could do, because I just felt like completely like open and just like bare, no defenses whatsoever. So I had to really be careful about who I was hanging out with and where I was going and if I was out in public and stuff. And I'll tell you, the first one of those that happened was about a year and a half ago, a little bit less than that. And it was, I'll tell you what, I thought it was my time to pass, because I had some weird sensations. That was the week of the first Neptune station to hit right on my Mercury. That was probably the strangest evening of my life.
Yeah. Well, and this stuff will open you up to other dimensions. You know, it's like the veil opens up and lets you see, and then it closes, and you're like, oh, my gosh, what did I just see? Is that me?
Right.
Am I crazy?
But before we got too far down the path, too, I wanted, this was just really funny. You were just talking about Albert Einstein a minute ago. And I just talked about how that time period of March 14th to March 20th was so huge energetically. Albert Einstein was actually born on March 14th. And actually, the anniversary of his death was actually just a couple days ago, April 18th. That was kind of a weird synchronicity.
Yeah. Well, you know what's even funny synchronicity that to add to that with my animal work is last year I had this crazy inclination that I wanted a little mini donkey. And I live out here on a ranch, okay? So my husband is a farrier. He works with horses as well. And so he had a client that had these babies that were coming. And I just had to have one. And I just had to have one. That's all there was to it. And so I didn't know when it was going to be born. In fact, the lady didn't even know when the due date was. And so we were waiting and waiting. And I said, well, I get the first one. All I know is I've got to have the first one. So I get this call. Of course, he's born on March 14th, which was Albert Einstein's birthday. Okay, just the synchronicity on this. He's a Pisces rising, sun in Pisces with a moon in Virgo.
Wow.
Yeah, and I am a Pisces rising moon. So this shows you guys. Now, I did not plan this. I did not make this happen. I could not predict when the baby was coming. Of course, his name is Einstein. And he, yeah, he had to be Einstein. So I have a little Einstein. But interestingly enough, I was wanting an unusual animal, like a donkey, to work as teaching, to be a service donkey. He's actually going to be going into hospitals and doing service work. And that was my goal, was to work with all the skills I have to actually train one to do what I do. And the universe gave me the most beautiful combination of an animal with the Pisces Virgo opposition that is the most powerful opposition for service work. And what are the odds of that happening? So if you don't believe in synchronicity or animals and astrology, I mean, I see this in my life like every day. It's normal, but it's really powerful stuff. But yeah, I've got a little Einstein too.
That's really funny and synchronistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's see. Yeah, I think shortly here we're going to take just a real short little break, and then when we come back, I think we're going to look at. You touched a little bit about, and I've been talking about this a lot lately, the Uranus Pluto in Virgo conjunction crowd. If you were born anywhere from the late 1950s up through the early 1970s,
mm-hmm.
You have Pluto or Uranus or both in the sign of Virgo. And many, especially people born around the mid to mid-late 60s, like Crystal Lynn and I were,
mm-hmm.
we have a very... intense and powerful alignment that most people do not get in their lifetime. That come up, very few people get, and this will be starting later this year and go through early 2017. And when we come back from this short break here, we will go into detail about that. And we'll be right back with our guest, Crystal Lynn, the Cowgirl Astrologer.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
And we are back in the rabbit hole. Today, our guest is... Crystal Lynn, the Cowgirl Astrologer. And we're talking miniature donkeys and Einstein and and animal horoscopes.
Anything you want, just we'll do it. We got it.
We are open to topics. Yeah, if anybody in the chat room there has any questions for our guest or for the three of us here, feel free to type them in there. So, okay, so there's much debate on the names for the generations and whatnot. I'm comfortable with us being called the Generation Xers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, right before the break, if you were born roughly between 1958 and 1972, you have the planet Pluto. Pluto is death, rebirth, transformation. And the planet Uranus, which is individuality and rebellion and outside the box thinking in general, chaos, change. These are all Uranus things. We both have, you have one or both of these planets in the sign of Virgo. Virgo is the editor, the corrector, likes to analyze and make changes and perfect things. These are some of the Virgo qualities. Also, Virgo people with Virgo energy love to help other people and love to fix things. So the people born us Generation Xers have this Uranus-Pluto conjunction in our birth charts. Now, a conjunction, of course, means the planets are very close together and working in tandem. And so I thought, from the people around me and my friends and stuff in this age group, it all feels like we've never really hit our stride. We've never done what we've come here to do. It's always felt like something's been building, like there is a time period coming when we would be asked to step up, and it would be our turn at leadership. And it's maybe come a little bit later for our generation than for a lot of other ones. But coming up in August, around August 11th, the planet Jupiter is going to enter the sign of Virgo. And then in November, the North Node. North Node is future, destiny, what energy to be working towards. That's going to move into the sign of Virgo. And so the planet Pluto, right now in the sky, is in the middle degrees of the sign of Capricorn, which is one of the other Earth signs. Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus are the three Earth signs. So what's going to happen for these Generation X people between this fall and early 2017, at some point Pluto is going to form a trine to your Uranus-Pluto conjunction. The transiting North Node is going to hit your Uranus-Pluto conjunction. And Jupiter will form a conjunction to Uranus-Pluto conjunction. And actually, next, I believe it's late May, early June of next year, there are some people that with this Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo that will have all that happening at the same time. Their natal Uranus-Pluto conjunction will be getting a trine from transiting Pluto, a conjunction from the North Node, and a conjunction from Jupiter. So you're going to have Pluto, the most powerful chart in your planet, hit by Jupiter, which is luck and expansion, North Node, which is destiny, and transiting Pluto, which is transformation. So this is really going to be, I can't really imagine having too much more powerful energy than that hitting your chart at one time.
Yeah, I am so excited about this. And it's interesting you're bringing that up because I was actually born in 68. And I, as a Virgo, I have Sun, Jupiter, Pluto, and Uranus conjunct in Virgo. So I actually have Sun and Jupiter.
Wow.
Joining that. And my in my 6th, 7th house there, I was just reading this. I pulled this little insert out. I'm just going to read it, just the little top of it here. It says, Uranus-Pluto conjunction, this occurs every 115 years. There was one in Virgo with an orb in 1963, which finally separated in the summer of 1969. Its potentialities are astounding. Children having this aspect placed near the midheaven will be leaders of their generation. A strong positive and negative potential gives children born during the 1963 to 69 period the power to rid the world of much evil and create a dynamic, humanitarian, and well-organized society. So,
awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
We are getting your, this is, I'm really glad you brought that up because we are getting ready to be triggered into a whole new, I don't really even know how to describe it. I'm just going to hang on, like, do I need a seatbelt? Like, you need to tie me to the ground. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And Mars will be joining Jupiter this summer in Virgo as well. So, you know, what the heck?
Right. That is a, that's amazing you having Jupiter in Virgo too. I forgot to even look into that. So you'll be having a Jupiter return as well as all that other stuff. So this is really... I looked at the first quarter of this year as being a really big processing, cleansing, dumping old karma, getting rid of baggage kind of period. And then I see we're in kind of a mellower resting period right now where we can start seeing all these big changes we go through and implementing them properly and seeing what we need to do. And then the energy really picks up again the beginning of July. And then we start having these transitions of planets into Virgo. So we are, and I've really seen over the last couple years how things have been, either I've removed them or the universe has removed them for me, or they've been taken out of my life for one reason or another to just kind of free up my energy and time, and because I really feel there's huge stuff happening for us in late this year and all of next year.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's no coincidence that we've just been through a Saturn and Scorpio transit that only happens once every 29 years. That was probably one of the hardest 3 years internally for me, looking at deep psychological issues. You know, at 45 years old in my life, I'm suddenly seeing everything for as it is, and it's really hard to look at the truth. We often play tapes in our head, and you know, we hold on to things, or we do things because somebody tells us we can't. And so then we don't, you know, then 10 years later we're doing something and we don't even know why we're doing it. All we remember is someone said we couldn't do it, so we did it, you know. And
right. That's
not enough of a reason anymore. We have to know who we are. And there are a lot of hurting people emotionally from coming out of Saturn and Scorpio, dealt with a lot of death and transformation in so many levels. But I think it was the universe's way of truly purging us from the old tapes and obsessions and bondages psychologically in our lives, because we will not be able to truly enter into the future and truly be healers having that baggage weighing us down. There's no room for the positive energy. And letting go and allowing healing. And Saturn and Scorpio, I also believe, truly opened up our... I mean, we use the word psychic ability. People are, you know, don't know what to do with that word. But the bottom line is we as humans have the ability to see into the spiritual world. And we need to embrace that. There's beautiful messages in the spiritual world that we've been so materialistic. We've been, you know, so caught up in the grandiose ideas of the Pluto and Leo generation, and, you know, bless their hearts, that's what they were here to do. But the Pluto and Virgo generation, I believe, is going to be triggered. We're the next ones coming up. We're going to be the next ones in the political realm. And people, I believe, if they get a hold of this, are going to go back to healing the earth, to taking on their own responsibility for their health in natural ways, and, you know, having their own gardens, having their own land, slowing down, taking their spiritual, their emotional, their physical health into their own hands, and realizing that, you know, when you go back to the earth, there is plenty for everyone. It's the scarcity that we've all been living in the most abundant, you know, world, because we bought into, you know, relying on systems instead of really going back to, you know, we have the answers. And the Pluto and Virgo generation is going to bring us back to those answers, and it's going to require us, and I hope to be a part of that, to really respect the earth, and that includes the animals, those who, you know, are weak. We need to raise them up. We need to empower them, not just give them a fish, but teach them how to fish. And, you know, that's part of this process. I think we're heading towards, you know, going green and simplifying things.
I agree totally. I totally agree. Yeah, because that's really interesting that you mentioned that about the animals, because I just saw in the local newspaper here yesterday, I saw the circus was in town, the Barnum and Bailey or Ringling Brothers, one of the circuses that still travel around. And a lot of this article was about how they have a lot fewer animals than they used to, because they, you know, they wanted to make sure through their own will or from being forced, I don't know, that it was important that these animals be treated well. And so now there's just like a few specific animals there's not all these animals, and like they no longer have elephants in the circus because they kept finding they weren't being cared for properly in any of the circuses. So I don't think any of the circuses are having them anymore. So that's, I think we are really, you know, and earlier we talked about animals being our mirrors. So how, when you have something around you that is your mirror, and, you know, we all have animals that are spirit guides and spirit totems, how can you poorly treat or enslave or abuse something that is the mirror of yourself that's right in front of you?
Yeah, that right there just like that chills down my whole body. You're talking about that. I'm very passionate about that, because one of the things that I've been a very big advocate for, and have actually done some documentary stuff with, is the wild horse issues that we have going on right now is a perfect example of the heart of America, because we've got this huge divide. You know, with Neptune and Pisces, this may sound a little weird, but the animals are speaking out now. They have a voice, because Pisces represents communication with animals. Okay, the Virgo is the caretaker of small animals, but the Pisces is the communicator of horses, whales, elephants, these spiritual animals. And with Neptune and Pisces and the internet, the animals have a voice now. Before, they were hidden in bondage. Now they have a voice. And, you know, they're slaughtering these horses. They're considering them nuisances. They're taking them down to the meat markets. You know, they're just trying to eradicate them as a nuisance in America, the wild horses of America. That is the spirit of America. We built America on the back of these horses, and now America is discarding them like they're nothing. That is a huge reflection of the heart of America. And people are rising everywhere to fight for these forces. It's a huge debate going on. And it's there are people that are documenting the horrific situations going on. This is not just wild horses, the elephants, the rhinos, all of the animals. Even looking at SeaWorld and all of those places, people are looking at it differently now and saying, okay, yeah, we've all been sitting back, eating popcorn, eating hot dogs, and being entertained identify these animals, and really, when you look at the depth of what these animals represent for us spiritually, we have to pay attention that we are just not sitting back and being entertained or just using them as a part of our, you know, gluttony of America, so to speak.
Right,
right. But that we understand, oh, no, they were put here for a much more important reason. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not a vegetarian or anything. I'm not off over on that level, but there is a purpose, but there's a way to do it in a very humane way. And it, as far as, you know, how we take care of our animals, of our earth, horses follow that story, and you will see the heart of America because, you know, they just want to, you know, get rid of them. They don't want to have to deal with, the you know, wasting the land that's sitting there for them or finding ways. And they put these, you know, horses in pens for years, just sitting there. They're separated from the herd. It's a very tragic story. But America is rising up, and at least the issue is coming forth. And these are the issues we're going to see the next 10 years. These are the type of things that we're going to have to look at. And when you look at these issues, like we're saying, don't just look at them as, oh, that's a problem. Look at them as a reflection of America or the heart of the world. How people take care of this earth tells us a lot about, you know, the heart behind it. And the animals are telling on us. So I'm happy for that. They have a voice.
Yeah.
They're Dave's voice.
Yes, great point about the Neptune moving into Pisces, communications with animals becoming more prevalent, and I understand on one level having animals in zoos because they're ambassadors in a way, and so that's to get a connection, you know, for us to see, you know, more than just on a National Geographic show to see a wolf or an elk or whatever. But at the same level, too, we are supposed to take proper care of them and to make sure they're not to be abused and, you know, mistreated and stuff. And I just, when you're saying that, I just kind of saw another level of that as maybe another reason that there are so many zoos and exhibits with animals is that, so they're closer to us right now, so we can clearly get some of these communications that we would not have gotten. And just like there is a time for us to, maybe where they need to be, we can also communicate level with them. And
exactly. I mean, you know, we have the ability to have beautiful connections with animals. I mean, I ride horses. You know, I have horses in my domesticated animals, but it's understanding how to see it through the animal's perspective as far as care goes and creating sanctuaries and environments that are conducive to their natural, healthy habitat and not, you know, just man has a way of wanting to compartmentalize everything in a box and, you know, how much money am I making off of this, you know, and how little do I have to invest into it, you know, it's a money game. But when you're looking at understanding the spiritual responsibility that we have to animals, I think that the zoos and the different programs hopefully will continue, and they are. There are a lot that are stepping up and really creating habitats that are healthy for these animals to be in because, you know, there's nothing wrong with having places to connect, but we still have to, you know, remember and keep them in the utmost respect. And a lot of these elephants in the circuses and stuff, you know, they're chained up and they live very stressful lives. And then when they have a meltdown and run through the city, everybody, you know, freaks out. Well, no wonder, you know, the pressure right. that they've been under, the human mind, because you got to remember, humans are predatory by nature. If you eat meat, you're a predator. Even if you don't eat meat, you're a predator. You smell like meat, you eat meat. An animal that does not eat meat knows that you are the enemy. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that animals lend themselves to the enemy in a beautiful way, even when it's not in their best survival interest. They have the ability to do that. So we need to respect that they give us that, that they allow us to bring them into our world. But when you have animals that are, you know, really losing it mentally, it's beyond.
Right.
You know, their stress level is beyond. So, I don't know. I could go on that subject a lot, but, you know, it's important to talk about. These are things that, you know, the internet right now is very powerful, and for those of us who are very sensitive, you know, we do have to be careful what we're viewing every day, because if you can get really, you know, even overly saturated with stuff. But again, we're seeing the stories of the animals like never before, and I think it's going to really help us all learn how much more they can offer us than we've ever realized. So I like it for that.
I totally agree. Tareen, I think that's, we're at the end of our hour and a half here, so I think that's a very good message to leave on. I want to thank our guest, Crystal Lynn. You can find her YouTube channel, Cowgirl Astrologer. And I've put the link there in the chat room and on my Facebook page. And you can reach her through her website, cowgirlastrologer.com. And I want to thank you for all your great insights.
Well, thank you. It was just awesome to get to talk to you. And also, just one last thing, if you guys do check out my website, I am opening this year for women retreats here at my ranch, where I do equine therapy and I do different things with the animals. I'm just opened up. I have my first date coming up May 2nd. I think I have a few openings if you're here in California for some day retreats. I'll be doing some weekend stuff and some other astro events. So follow what I'm doing, because I've got all kinds of cool things. And with my Jupiter return, sky's the limit coming up here this summer. So keep an eye on what's going on over here with me. Might be pretty cool, I'm hoping. So
absolutely. And I think we're going to work on tandem on some things in the future here. And we would definitely love to have you back on, like later in the, maybe in the fall there, when we have Jupiter and or the North Node into Virgo. I mean, we'll get a status update from you.
That would be great. I would love it. So,
awesome.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. Loved having you on. And next week, our guest is somebody you know, I believe, Susan Nicole Wright, one of our favorite psychics.
Oh, I love her. She's amazing. Yes.
And I think that's who introduced us, actually.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
I met Susan, and she introduced us, and her and I have become, she's a beautiful person. So good selection of people coming on. Good job, Mark.
Yeah. Thank you very much for being on, and everyone have a great weekend. And we will mud toe at midnight, tonight at midnight. And then I believe Gary Heron on Sunday. And then next Monday starts a whole new week of shows. Next Friday, I will have psychic medium Susan Nicole Wright on. And be sure and check out Crystal Lynn's website. And everyone have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon.